Failure is not an option.
What difference at this point does it make?
Nobody said it was going to be fun.
This is Real Talk, a fearless, poignant, and intrepid show where truth speaks louder than words. This is Real Talk with your host, Audrey Russo.
The shame, not of this world, so we live on the run. We keep our eyes set, on what is to come.
It happened before. It will happen again. It's just a question of when.
Time's a luxury we don't have.
Hi, this is Milwaukee County Sheriff David Clark. For insightful dialogue and discussion, tune in to Audrey Russo at Real Talk Radio.
Welcome back. If you're just joining us, this is Audrey Russo, and you're listening to Real Talk. Who killed Ashley Babbitt? And why isn't the media interested in the murder of an unarmed woman by a U.S. Capitol Police officer? And how long will Big Pharma, who's raking in billions, and communist bureaucrats hold the sheep hostage to a flu virus? Well, we're going to find out more about this with my next guest. For my new listeners, Diana West is the author of several best-selling books, including The Death of the Grown-Up, How America's Arrested Development is Bringing Down Western Civilization, and American Betrayal, The Secret Assault on Our Nation's Character. And she's also the author of the new bestseller, The Red Thread, A Search for Ideological Drivers Inside the Anti-Trump Conspiracy. Diana has contributed essays and features to numerous periodicals, including The Wall Street Journal, The Weekly Standard, and The Washington Post. She's also been a columnist for The Washington Times, Scripps Howard News Service, and United Media. And she can be read at The Daily Caller. It's my great pleasure to give a Real Talk welcome back to Diana West. Oh, it's so great to have you back with us, Diane. I can't wait to get into topics here.
Oh, I know. There's so much to talk about, and it's very, very important for your health.
Yes. Even though I mentioned in the intro about Ashley Babbitt, which we will get to next time because that's not going to be a settled issue between now and the next time you visit, this is too critical and personal to the listeners, the danger of the COVID jab. I won't call it a vaccine, even though they are. Dr. Peter McCullough. And he is probably one of the most published physician scientists in the world. And he published one of the first papers on the treatment of COVID-19 in the American Journal of Medicine. And he said he was on with Alex Newman, and he said a typical new drug, for instance, at about five deaths. I want everyone to listen to that. Five deaths, unexplained deaths. We get a black box warning. He said your listeners would see that on TV saying may cause death. And then at about 50 deaths for a new product, it's off the market. It's pulled from the market. End of quote. At openvayers.com, you can see the number of deaths and injuries. And this is only 1% reporting. And also being processed. Only 1%. The number of deaths as of April 26, 2021 is reported at Veyers as 3,848 just here in this country. This info, as well as the recovery rate for the virus, 99%, and the fact that millions who recovered from the virus have T-cell immunity. By the way, that's at NIH.gov. They have that information and the studies right there. That's Fauci's own site. That lasts almost two decades, the T-cell immunity, and that's to all so-called variants, is available for everyone on the web, but it is not being broadcast to the public, so more and more will take this unapproved injection. And they are using, in my opinion, Nazi-like tactics and telling those who got the jab to stay away from those who did not. So, Diana, what's going on here?
Something ghoulish, something creepy, something dangerous. I mean, this has gotten to a point where, well, it's beyond the point where we should all be really afraid for our lives. We're learning about the adverse events, as you mentioned, coming from the CDC's own tallies at this thing called Vaccine Adverse Event Reporting System, which is notoriously slow and underestimating the actual numbers out there. That should make people take great caution in approving this vaccine for themselves or their loved ones. But we're also learning from these courageous doctors like Peter McCullough that there is precedent in our own past for the protection coming from our own government against such dangerous and experimental drugs. And this is not just theoretical, as he was explaining, looking at what is a typical kind of protocol for a new drug. If a new drug starts causing death, small numbers of deaths, it concerns the industry, it concerns the government, and then you hit a mark, like 50, it's gone. It's back to the drawing board. There's something wrong. Well, he went further in this same interview. He was talking about the very concrete and strong parallel to today, and this would be the swine flu pandemic that hit around 1976. There was a vaccine developed. We, as Americans, attempted to vaccinate 55 million Americans in this period. Again, it was a period of months, several months. There was an alarming uptick in something called Guillain-Barre syndrome, which is an ascending paralysis from the legs upwards. They were seeing about 500 cases quite all of a sudden, and 25 deaths that they were able to at least connect or associate with this swine flu vaccine. And at that point, the program was killed.
Right.
Think about that.
Yeah.
The government said, this is too dangerous. We cannot go there. We have to think of something else. Now, if you flash forward the 40 years or so to today, roughly 40 years, we are looking at a very different situation where the vaccine is being pressed on us by government, by media, by social media, even as this unprecedented death count is amassing. In other words, there is no concern for the riskiness, for the danger of the vaccine on the part of the government that is dispensing it as quickly as possible, the media that is not looking into it.
No.
So we have this situation where there are probably about 100 million people who have been fully vaccinated in this country. I think that's a current figure. And we're looking at, what, around 3,500 deaths?
Actually, it's even more. It's
close to 4,000 now.
It's close to 4,000 now.
Right.
That was at the end. And also, I mean, there are people that have gone blind, that have paralysis, that have all these other, and they call those injuries, right? And some
paralysis,
doctors, right, exactly.
Strokes.
But
I
wanted to jump quickly on what you just said about the swine flu, and I'm going to post this clip for everyone. But we were talking off air about it, that back at that period, and I think it was 76, is that what you mentioned?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Mm-hmm.
So on 60 Minutes, which I'm not a fan of, but I mean, back then, they obviously had some journalistic integrity. Mike Wallace, who actually had some then also, he had interviewed the head of the CDC, who was obviously visibly, and you'll see, very uncomfortable because he was telling, you know, he was asking him, how come you didn't let the public know this, that these things could happen, yes. that could be, and he had no answers for him. Then they took the tax dollars, like they've taken our tax dollars now, and making all these ridiculous commercials trying to provoke people and encourage them to get jabbed. And they were doing it back then. They were using celebrities' names, and they used Mary Tyler Moore's name. And Mike Wallace interviewed her, and she never gave them permission. She also never got the jab, and she was very happy that she didn't, because so many people were hurt from it, you know. Yes. And who knows how many down the road exactly. were further hurt. This is even more so, as you and I both know from some of these brilliant doctors that yes. are, you know, have been banned from social media because they're telling the truth, that we have even more of a problem, because these are almost devices. It's almost, to me, like a time release bomb in the yes. system, where down the, like maybe 12 months from now, they'll end up with an autoimmune condition or disease from it, right. or worse. Right?
Very risky and unknown. That is certainly 100% true. It is unknown what the impact will be down the road, because it has not been tested. But, you know, it's just to stay on this, the swine flu comparison. When you understand that, when you process those numbers and the reaction to them by Mike Wallace, by the U.S. government of the day, and compare that to today, that is how we extract knowledge. The comparison is the only way we can come to any sort of judgment on what we should do about this for ourselves, because the government is lying to us, is hopeless, is hiding all this. This becomes a personal decision that we must make with information that allows us to weigh the impact. So when we know that in the back in the day, this would have been taken off the market instantly, a long time ago. It would have been taken off the market in January. It wouldn't be still be being pushed. That is important information to operate on. And I'd like to throw out another fact that also should help us make this determination of how risky this is. Dr. McCullough also talked about the annual influenza vaccine. Something close to 200 million people annually take the influenza vaccine, the flu shot. And typically in one of those years, you see 20 to 30 deaths reported into the CDC system. Well, that is another very important piece of information. 20 to 30 deaths, frankly, when I read that, I thought, gosh, I would never take one. If there's a risk of death, I don't think it's worth it. But that's my own personal determination. Mm-hmm. But again, this is the kind of risk-benefit analysis that each individual American must make for himself. Every one of us has to make this determination for ourselves, and we need this information. This is like water in a parched, you know, in a parched landscape. We need this information so we can make these comparisons and understand how terribly dangerous this experimental genetic therapy, it's not a vaccine as we understand vaccines, this genetic experiment is, and we don't all have to become guinea pigs.
Right.
And we certainly don't have to become it when we make this determination. And I just implore people to consider these numbers, discover more numbers, make this determination. Don't just listen to the propaganda, because this is for keeps. This is your life, and it's your children's lives.
Exactly. It's not like a poison where you can get an antidote for it. This is going right into your cells, and your cells are going to start reproducing it, and they don't know what's going to happen. And they are protected from litigation, thanks to our repugnant government that would make an agreement like that. And anyone that's involved in the process of getting them are also protected. So they don't even have to tell you the truth. And they're not, because having it on the web, but not telling the people vocally, so they know they're not hearing it in the media or from these bureaucrats. And what happens? They believe it. They believe it's a cure for something. Here's the other very dangerous thing. And Dr. McCullough talked about it, how dangerous it is that those of us like myself that recovered from it have a permanent T-cell immunity to it. Okay. We're not talking about just the antibodies, the T-cells make an immunity to it. And those last at least two decades, if not more. If you've recovered from it, you should not get the vaccine, or as they're calling it, the vaccine, the jab. You should not get it. It's dangerous for you to get that, because you already have immunity. and this can cause like a hyper thing in the system. I don't know the correct terminology, and you can die from that.
Right. Right. No, it's a very, very risky proposition. And many Americans have rushed to take it for all kinds of benign reasons,
right.
Chief among them believing that it is something like a more classic vaccine that they're familiar with. Calling it a vaccine is a misnomer and a deception right off the bat, as you're alluding to, just because it is a genetic reconfiguration that will occur as a result of it. And again, there is no knowledge about what it will look like. We're seeing numerous adverse events, as they call these human tragedies. I mean, you know, an adverse event sounds so antiseptic, but when you read, for example, about a 43-year-old father of seven from Louisiana who took the Johnson shot and shortly thereafter was paralyzed and remains paralyzed and cannot speak, that's an adverse event in a governmental log. It is a human tragedy that affects all of his seven children now with relatives. His wife has quit her job to be by his side. He is undergoing all kinds of intensive physical and mental therapy, hoping to regenerate his life. And that is happening by the thousands. You know, that is not a death. That is an adverse event. This is going on. You can do the anecdotes. Usually you have to, it's very interesting, Audrey, I find that you can find these adverse events, as they, you know, call them, in local reporting. You'll find them in local TV stations. They don't rise up through the wire. The wire doesn't touch them. They don't end up on the front page of the New York Times or featured on CNN. They don't end up on 60 Minutes. And that is to our great tragedy, because we are not being informed by media. News media is hiding this just as much as the government is. And so when I go to look for it, you know, I've learned now to look for certain kinds of local reports. I've learned to go to, as we've talked about, Robert Kennedy Jr.'s site, Children's Health Defense News and Views, which is called The Defender. They chronicle a lot of this. There's a COVID blog I check. I mean, you go to sort of some unusual sites. Alex Berenson on Twitter is another one. You know, certain reporters, Celia Farber, there are a number of them, but they're all kind of scattered, and they are certainly off to the side. So if your child, your 20-something, is trying to figure this all out and they Google it, it doesn't pop up. They think mom's crazy, you know, so you have to start sending the information as you're finding it. So you become your own family news service. But I'm saying do that, because this is for keeps. As you say, it's not a poison for an antidote. It's not like taking a hallucinogenic that you can eventually, you know, hope to get out of your system or change. You know, it's not like that. Once it's in your system, it's in your system. And we do not know what else it will do to you. And that, to me, you don't have to be a scientist to be afraid of that.
No. And look, God gave us an immune system. We have to let it work. It's been working all these years. We've encountered a lot of different types of viruses, and the body fights it.
Sure.
This fear and this the mindset that this is what's scary. You have to be very careful. This is not a savior. It's not going to save you from everything. The fact that they're calling this vaccine, as you said correctly, it's not a vaccine because it's under an EUA approval, which it's not a vaccine. It's not something that's been FDA approved, which takes years. There's a reason that it takes years, because they had to, the testing that was done was not something that was sufficient for distributing this to millions of people. And then basically in the news, ignoring what's happening to the people. This is going to be a very, it's tragic. Think, as Diana just said, please think very clearly about what you're doing. This is permanent. Whatever happens is permanent. Do you really want to roll the dice on this? I wouldn't want to.
No, I've just become, the more I've studied it and I've done, you know, I've spent much too much time studying it at this point, but the more lock, stock, and barrel I am resolved that this is a dangerous decision to make for me and my family, and I just want people to try to benefit some of these amazing doctors and scientists who have put their careers on the line. Some of them have lost jobs. Some of them are under all kinds of assault. for trying to bring this information to us, because of course, you know, we are our lay people and we do have to sift through the word of the different medical experts. Now, it is a debate. Debate is healthy. Let's say that it's a perfectly rational argument to make that this COVID-19 injection is beneficial. Let's hear that. We're hearing that. But then there's this other wing of the debate that's saying, no, please be careful. Wait, let's see how this goes. Let's develop this. Let's get some more information in. That too is part of the debate. Now, that part of the debate, the cautious side or the warning side, has been censored.
Yeah.
Has been censored by the government and the media and social media, and has been made ridiculous in terms of being smeared, and the people have been, you know, maligned and so on. That tells you something. That tells you that there is not a straight, honest process underway. And that is where you then start going, well, why is that? Why are they trying to push us into this when there is so much evidence to the contrary? What is really going on? And that sort of takes it out of your own family circle and into more of this reorganized world that is totalitarian, that eliminates personal freedom to move, to go to school, to get a job, to, you know, associate, to, you know, it's everything totalitarian that stems from this essentially medical tyranny that is being stood up first on the fear of the virus, on the lockdown regimen that destroyed the economy, and now this quote build back better, which just makes me, you know, that essence is to build back a dictatorship based on this medical tyranny. And goodness knows what that will look like down the road. It's a terrifying place, but they can't do that if enough of us say no.
Yeah, well, that's it. There it is. They had no right to take away our choice. They have no right taking our tax dollars and trying these intimidation campaigns about it. And then you have the surreal character of Cuomo, who is responsible for killing 15,000 plus elderly in nursing homes in New York. And what does he say? Well, you really should get the vaccine, he says, because you could kill your grandmother.
It's incredible. It's incredible. He also was talking about busing high school students. Again. Put them on a bus. Schools should organize this. Get them vaccinated. I mean, this is brute tactics that absolutely trample everyone's liberty, including parents over their children. Yeah, I mean, these are young people. These are minors he's talking about. He's talking that way about the elderly. He's talking that way about the minors. So is the illegitimate usurper Biden talking about that in terms of how will we get more people vaccinated? Yeah, and he starts talking about how the unvaccinated will kill people.
Which is, a lie. It's
a lie.
Incredible
it's
a lie.
If
that were true, we'd have the streets lined with body bags.
Right.
Do you see that? No.
No.
Of course not.
No. All I see are numbers of, quote, cases, which are when you test a healthy person with this ridiculous thing called a PCR test, and you find a fragment of something that may or may not be even a part of this virus, and you say, oh, a case, an infected person, no symptoms, no reason to be tested. And what do they do? They start giving them medicine. They sometimes hospitalize them with a cough. I mean, this has gotten into such crazy theater we're way beyond any sort of real, actual health issue or concern, and certainly not by the government. This is all about teaching people to be subjects to state authority.
Yes.
And that's what this is all about. And unfortunately, it also goes to our young people who are so impressionable and are growing up masked and afraid of people. And I just saw the CDC's summer camp regulations, and I was ready to absolutely combust spontaneously in rage. I mean, the idea of finally children getting out of cities, getting to the country for a week of peace and beauty, and having to mask inside their pup tent and outside their pup tent.
Oh, that's insane.
and remain at social distance. I don't know how you canoe social distance, you know, that kind of thing. Absolutely. The only time you're allowed to be free is underwater. So I'm just imagining everybody with wrinkled skin spending the summer in the lake.
Yeah.
And maybe that's a good thing. But that, you know, that is ridiculous. It is child abuse. So we're looking at this at every stage of our life, from babies who are now going to be shot with this thing. Potentially, I mean, it looks like it's going to happen to elderly. I read a horrible report, wonderful independent journalist, who was looking at the CDC numbers and tagging this to assembling a body of evidence showing that elderly in hospice have been given the vaccine. Elderly dying. People go to hospice shortly before they die. They're not expected to recover. They are getting vaccinated. Will you tell me what the reason for that is besides a cash register? Yeah. This is outrageous.
I think that some good investigative reporters need to take a look, especially with people like Cuomo, and see what, and Fauci, what is their financial interest in this? Because pushing it like this and making it sound like it's a law when it's not, because remember, let's remember the Nuremberg Code, because we don't have to for a voluntary, you know, for an experimental vaccine, trying to push people into getting something they are not going to be responsible for at all.
Right.
People think about it and remember something. If you are not a citizen where you decide for yourself, you are a subject. And we are not subjects in this country. So start taking your rights back yourself. Don't wait for them to give them to you, because they will not give them back to you. Take them back. Period. Take the mask off. Start making decisions for yourself. Remember, the CDC has always had guidelines since they were around. Those are just suggestions, all right? They are not laws. Just remember that. Diana, believe it or not, the time is up. Where can the listeners support your follow and support your brilliant work and purchase your books, including The Red Thread? Where can they do that?
Oh, that was a wonderful wind-up, Audrey. you can find everything at my website, dianawest.net, and it has links to my books and my latest pieces and links to my Patreon channel. So that's where you can find me. And I'm also on Gab, which is working great, at Real Diana West.
Excellent. And of course, I will have all those links in my after show, which is now on the live show page. Just go to audreyrusso.com, click on the honor button, and right under the show description, you'll find all the links and info you need to follow Diana's work. Thanks so much again, Diana, for sharing your brilliant assessments on this with us. We look forward to your return to the show. Until then, may God bless you, your work, and may God save America. Bye for now.
Bye-bye, Audrey. Thank you.
Thank you.